Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Hey everyone, welcome to New Life Live. This is Zach Matchett filling in for Steve Arterburn today. I'm joined today by Dr. Sherry Keffer and Dr. Alice Benton. Hello ladies, good to see you.
Hey, it's great to see you and be with you all. And of course, our listeners.
Love them. That's right. And I want to kind of start our show today by a quote that I saw recently that may help populate some calls that if you want to call in, you can reach us at 1-800-229-3000. This quote, one of the greatest gifts you can give to yourself is the gift of self-awareness. I feel like we're in a culture these days where it's very easy to apply this razor sharp edge to the faults and the behaviors of others. And then we have a blunt knife when we examine our own life, and we lack that self-awareness and I think introspection, which the scripture talks many times about as a lost art. We are addicted to rebuke and I think allergic to introspection a bit. And so as a Christian, and not just that, as a counselor, guys, I'd love to hear, like, how do you help build self-awareness? How do you talk to your clients and to people to understand, like, where are the blind spots? Where are the weaknesses? Where are the strengths? What is the gift of self-awareness that could be in healing and recovery for people?
Well, self-awareness is so intimidating because it's hard to look in the mirror and to look at our own faults. And I think there are a couple of ways of going at it. If we're willing to, this is a prayer that God answers quickly and much more clearly, at least in my experience, than other forms of prayers. If I ask him what my sins and my hidden faults are, he's going to tell me. But he gives us just as much as we can handle at a time, and he gives us the grace to be able to face the answers to that prayer. We also advise people frequently that we would ask our loved ones, tell me one thing about what it's like being in relationship with me, whether it's my spouse, my children. I need to pair it, though, with asking, would you tell me one thing you like about me, and then would you tell me one difficult thing about being in relationship, because that helps me to metabolize hearing the negative about myself.
Yeah, no, that's super helpful. I just remind that verse of, like, search me and know me, O God, see if there be any wicked way in me. That is not for the faint of heart. You're going all the way in if you want to start praying that kind of stuff. So, well said. Sherry, do you want to toss in anything there?
Oh, you know, I think I just have to look around my own world. And I think being a part of a recovery group where one of the things that is said on a regular basis is, hi, my name is Sherry. My life has become unmanageable. All I have to do is really be honest with myself and begin to look at how the inside of my car looks, right? How my laundry, is it done? Is it on the floor? Is it not done?
Yeah.
You know, and if I really look at what is happening in my world, I begin to realize that that is affecting the ones that I love, the ones that are closest to me. And so I think being honest about that, talking about that, not putting my hand over my own eyes and going into denial over it, that's what I think is the easiest thing to do, but it just doesn't change anything. So, it's getting honest with yourself and realizing that we're all imperfect. We don't have it together all the time. And that's because we're human. And so embracing that, being honest about that, confessing it, sharing it with those closest to us, just helps us to be more real about what is going on, about our warts,
And it actually draws people into us rather than pushing them away when we're willing to have these conversations. It strengthens relationship.
Yeah, like maybe I'll take you out to see my car today, Alice, and you'll go, I think you're a little busy right now, girl. But then I know you love me, right?
That's right. I love you. I love you in spite of the state of your car. I should go on a t-shirt or something like that. We'll be here. If you're already on the line, just hold for a second. We'll get to your call. But if you haven't called in yet and you want to help, 1-800-229-3000. We'd love to take your calls today here on New Life Live. Again, Zach Matchin here filling in for Steve Arterburn with Dr. Sherry Keffer and Dr. Alice Benton. And we would love to take your calls today.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Thanks again for joining us today on New Life Live. This is Zach Matchin filling in for Steve Arterburn, pinch hitting, if you will, and I'm with Dr. Alice Benton and Dr. Sherry Keffer. We want to go ahead and get to your phone calls today. First, we have Marty. He is watching us or listening to us online in Alaska. Marty, thanks so much for hanging out with us today. How can we help you?
Hi. I was recently watching a video that Steve did for Promise Keepers, and he was talking about some of his, I won't get into that, but some of his past struggles.
Mm-hmm.
He talked about how he really struggled with guilt from choices he had made, and then he had made amends with the person he had hurt, and how that was just a relief to him, and he forgave himself and let go of that guilt at that point. But my question was, if you can't make that amends or feel that the one that you've hurt hasn't forgiven or may not forgive, how do you let go of that guilt and the shame and forgive yourself?
Yeah, I appreciate you being vulnerable and sharing that, because at times we can be the hardest people to forgive ourselves. And so I appreciate you articulating that. Sherry, how would you help Marty here?
Yeah, hey, Marty. Thank you for coming on and being so vulnerable to ask a question that many, many of us deal with.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it might have felt like when Steve was talking, you know, that was like, oh, I really would love to have his life in that way. My first question to you is, what makes it difficult for you to make amends to this person that you have harmed?
I made a lot of bad choices, and it was very hurtful, and just things aren't going well, and I don't imagine they're going to go well, so it's...
Can I take a stab at it? So you're in a relationship with someone that you love. It's either your...
Yes.
Okay, your wife, maybe?
It's my wife.
All right.
Yeah.
And you've done some things that have harmed her, maybe things she doesn't even know about yet, and you're feeling really burdened by that. May even have to do with sexual betrayal, maybe porn, maybe affairs. I'm just taking a stab in the dark to try to touch your heart in a very real way instead of talking about a principle. Am I at least in the zone of conversation?
Yes.
Okay.
All of the above.
All right. Thank you. Thank you.
She knows about it.
Okay.
But she's very hurt, and which is understandable.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you for your honesty.
And a lot of the guys tell me, you know, that I'm very stuck, and I need to forgive myself, and I'm not going to be able to move forward in a healthy way without forgiving myself. But I have a hard time to forgive myself when I've hurt my wife so bad, and she continues to hurt.
Yeah.
It feels selfish to forgive myself. And
well, you know what I love? Yeah. I know what I love about you. You are completely on the right path. Do you know what you're talking about? You're talking about a healthy conviction, or like grieving having done something that's harmful in a good way. That's like healthy guilt. I think it's a part of recovery that most of us want to skip over. We want to go to forgiveness because there's this, I don't know, kind of a fantasy that if I can get to forgiveness that maybe I'll feel better. But let me tell you, that is not a true statement, especially in your case. Because what needs to happen is a path of recovery, a path of healing, a path of coming clean, a path of not having to carry the lies that you're still holding on to. It's impossible because they happened in the context of a marriage. And this totally is my world, Marty. This is what I do every day. And I love your heart. I love your openness. I love that you don't want to just fake it. And I think your wife has a lot to me, that's a real trait. It's a strong character trait that makes me feel a lot of hope for you. I was married to someone also, Marty, his name is Connor, who sexually betrayed me. And there was porn, there was affairs and multiple affairs and some prostitutes and all of that. And what we didn't do is we didn't get into the right care. We didn't get honest with each other. And it kind of just grew like gangrene. It kind of ate the heart out of him. And it also, I was experiencing some trauma from that. But I didn't know that I needed healing from betrayal trauma. And so I would love you guys to get into some good treatment, to not just spiritualize this whole thing, but to really get in some treatment where you can be transformed into a couple that is a couple of honesty and integrity. And she will feel hurt. She's going to feel hurt. I wrote a book. It's called Intimate Deception, Healing the Wounds of Sexual Betrayal. And I would love to send you that. We'll send you that so you can get give that to her. And, you know, we'll probably send you a book as well. I'm thinking of Jason and Steve's book, Worthy Ever Trust. But before that, I want to say thank you. I love how when I just asked you the question, you didn't fight back. You weren't defensive. You were like, yep, that's me. And that humility is golden. Mm-hmm. Because if you lead with that, if you get involved with every man's battle, if you get into a recovery group, I talk about in my book the two pillars, safety and the truth. And she can't feel safe with you until she knows the truth. But not like you just tell her the truth today without her having support around her. There is a whole process by which she gets support around her and has somebody help carry her heart while your heart is also working through a process of sobriety, of honesty, of healing.
Yeah. Alice, would you throw anything else in there?
Marty, I want you to consider giving her radical permission. Many of us fall into the trap of telling someone, you should trust me now. You have to trust me. It's been this long since I last acted out, so you should be trusting me now, because that's what we most want. But when we give permission, you don't have to trust me yet. You can be angry at me for as long as you need to. You have every right not to trust me, to be angry. You even have a biblical right to divorce me, because my actions have merited all of that. And so you can take as long as you need to. And as scary as that permission sounds, it actually builds up trust. And it lowers the defensiveness of our spouse when we acknowledge that they have a right to feel the way that they do. And it enhances the healing process and it moves us along. We also have to have a supernatural peace for our spouse's healing process, because even though you may have been, hopefully, sexually sober for some time, it takes a spouse such a long time to be able to trust not the words, but the behavior of a man like yourself who is choosing sexual sobriety. So you pray for and give her enormous patience with her process in this.
So, Marty, we've got Every Man's Battle coming up, and I want you to know the guys that are there that are counselors and presenters, do you know they've been where you are? And there are many of them.
Yeah.
Many have restored their marriages. And I would love you to be around some of those guys, and I would love your wife to get the help and healing that she needs to help you guys get through this.
Yeah, absolutely. And today, actually, if you were mentioning the Every Man's Battle, Sherry, that the registration for that actually ends today. If you want to save $200 for the upcoming workshop, I think it's on April 8th. And so it's a great resource. And, you know, Marty, what I would say just from just in closing, confession is better than concealment. So this is the MO right now is for you to continue to, as Alice said, you know, kind of that radical permission. I love that phrase, Alice, and just the access, and making sure that we are open about what's really going on and understanding that this is, you're going to play the long game, but in the short term, there needs to be this real concerted plan to find health and healing. And I think that's only going to happen through confessing, you know, whether that's obviously saying the truth, but also confessing temptation, confessing a lack of boundaries or how to put the boundaries in place and all kinds of things. It's just, man, I think we're scared off by that confession side, but we haven't yet seen what concealing can do. And sometimes it's only too late to find out how bad that can actually be.
So Marty, save $200, sign up today, and that's going to be something in the direction for your wife to see that you're actually doing something with your confession. And that may give her hope, enough hope to hang on. And we'll get the books, my book, Intimate Deception, Healing the Wounds of Sexual Betrayal, and then Worthy of Her Trust, out to you. And I want you to read my book so that you can understand the impact of what your wife has gone through from your sexual betrayal. I've written it. I wrote it for you, for husbands, and for those that have been betrayed.
That's great. Let's go ahead and go to our next call here. We have, it looks like Pam is calling from Dallas, Texas. She's listening to KWRD. Hi, Pam. Thanks so much for calling. How can we help you today?
Hello?
Hi, Pam. How can we help you today? Welcome to New Life.
Hi there. How are you all?
I'm so good. Thanks for calling today. How can we help you?
Okay. My question is, how do you respond to someone who tries to get your attention by acting out?
Well, it sounds like you've got a little someone in your life there that's doing that. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
I have no clue, but I came up with these questions I can answer. Okay, so I have adult children.
Yep.
My youngest is 30, about to be 33. My oldest is 40 something. But however, one of them, I don't know. I was doing nothing practically, but it was over maybe some money or something, and the action that came from it was not called for, and I don't know, I just don't understand how to respond to people that act out.
So Pam, did one of your children ask for your financial help? You were limited in how you were willing to respond, and what did they do in acting out?
No, that's not it.
Give us a little clearer picture so that we have more to go on.
I really don't know. How do you respond to people that act out? I mean, you know, a child can act out, but I don't know why.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Well, so let's just go with what you've given us. It's a little cryptic, but we're going to go with it. So it had to do with some money. Some problem with money, and then the next thing you know, one of your kids is acting out in a way that seemed inappropriate. So the first step I would do is, one, validate yourself. Say, go me, Pam, because I just observed a wacky behavior. Like, this is not a normal behavior for somebody to do. And
right.
Yeah, and I often say, and I didn't come up with this phrase, but let me put it on me. If it's hysterical, if I react in a hysterical way, in a wacky way, it's historical. It's attached to something. And so I would go back, so go you, right? Step two would be to go back to that person and just kindly share your observation. I just noticed, when we had the conversation about money, I noticed that this happened. I was just curious if you could tell me more. Tell me more of what was going on with you. I really want to hear.
You might also take a guess, such as, I think that my response to what you wanted from me was hurtful, was upsetting, you didn't like what I did, and I'm willing to hear about what you thought, what you felt with my own behavior. And then I want to find out what you're needing and wanting from me at this point. And getting that clarity doesn't guarantee that you'll do what they want, but it helps open up the conversation and hopefully open their heart up to deepening the relationship.
Absolutely. Yeah, thanks so much. We'll take your calls, 1-800.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free, 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Back again, New Life Live. Zach Matchett here, filling in for Steve Arterburn, Dr. Alice Benton, and Dr. Sherry Keffer. Pam was just on the line. And Pam, we're going to send you a resource. Alice, you were mentioning on the break that resource. Will you mention it just real
How
quick?
How We Love Our Kids by Mylan and Kay Yurkovich.
Yes, so that'd be helpful. Even, and I think that would apply even if as our children are now adults. I think the same some of the
does.
Same principles would apply. And so I mentioned earlier about the Every Man's Battle workshop coming up again. This is the last day to save $200 on registering. It's happening in April 8th in Columbus, Ohio. But I want to read just this quick testimonial from a gentleman named Robert who actually went on a scholarship as a result of your giving. And he took part in this, and I just want to read it. He said, "It was one of the most powerful events I've ever attended. The healing, the realization that there is forgiveness, that there is hope, and I have a continual path forward to continue the healing and forgiveness. For the first time, I believe I have the tools to stop running and hiding from my wife and seeking healing for us. Thank you for all the hard work and your efforts to help me seek and find healing that will benefit my entire family. There's a long road ahead, and I am now prepared for the journey." And so again, from somebody who's actually taken part in that, the secret to a healthy marriage is no secrets. And so if those of you that are married and find yourself in a bit of a crisis, make sure that you are opening up and finding the help that you need. And that comes through confession and using helpful resources like Every Man's Battle. So I want to make sure I shared that since that came up during our last time of phone calls. Right now, we're actually going to go to Danielle. Danielle's calling from Lynchburg, Virginia. And we're going to check in with her. Hi, Danielle. How can we help you today?
Hey, my name's Danielle. How you guys doing?
I'm great. Thanks so much for calling today.
Good.
How can we help you?
Good. I have a really weird situation. I had a commander last week of an American Legion post who was, we were talking, and I found out that he was professing agnostic, which is interesting. And I was like, I don't know what that means, but I'm going to ask that in a minute. I only wanted to get to know him, but when I use the word God is good, or the phrase God is good, at that time he became, like, he freaked out. He became very livid, and I thought he said that I was proselytizing him when I was just trying to share what I believe, you know, that God is good. You know, I'm an assistant chaplain. He made me an assistant chaplain, and so he got up and left, and then he came back and asked me as an assistant chaplain if I drank, and I said no. He offered me a beer, and I just have a couple of questions. How do I continue to build trust with him? What do true agnostics believe, and what is biblically or politically correct and are acceptable, and do I share what is proselytizing, and where do I begin? You know what I'm saying? I just don't know.
Yeah, that's,
I don't know
that's
what to
tricky.
Do.
That's tricky. Thanks for calling.
Yeah.
And that's not a weirdo, random situation at all. I think it's, I mean, listen, to some degree, if we're living as a follower of Jesus, we will be hopefully both attractive and also like we'll open ourselves up to criticism from people. And so I would say this, you know, some people use the proselytizing thing, but at the same time, when the reaction is greater than the actual content, there's something else going on. So what we don't know is there some sort of hurt, you know, associated with the reason he doesn't believe, you know, he says an agnostic, that's somebody that I think, and you ladies, you correct me if I'm misunderstanding this, but someone who may acknowledge that there might be a God, there's a presence of a God, he may be or she may be impersonal in some way, we'd have no way of having interaction with this divine being, but it's kind of a generic belief that maybe there is, or the possibility of there being one. And I find, too, like, as I have conversations with people that are doubting or skeptical or don't believe in God, I find, and I read this somewhere, that it's like, tell me more about this God you don't believe, and I might not believe in him either by the end of the conversation. And so, you know, how accurate can we actually get a picture of what he is responding to? We don't know that. And so, I guess, ladies, I'd throw it to you and say, how do we help Danielle find wise and winsome ways to share her faith? You know, we can't, I think at times Christians are guilty of coming across as too abrasive, but we want to stand 10 toes down in what we believe. So what are some ways that we could help Danielle maybe trying to do that fine line dance of being bold in her faith and sharing what God's done in her life while also being, I guess, respectful of this kind of pluralistic society that we find ourselves in?
The commander's response is confusing, Danielle, because nothing you've said so far sounds abrasive to me in your approach or pushy. And proselytizing to me would mean that you're pushing your stance of your faith, you're preaching to someone who has already acknowledged they don't want to hear any more from you. And so the reaction is confusing. Because it sounds like you'll have to work with this person longer term, I would want to go back at a time when there's a peaceful moment between you and the commander to find out with just gentle, warm curiosity. It felt like what I said the other day was stirring, was upsetting, rubbed you wrong. I'd really like to hear about it. And I want to clarify going forward in my appointment as the chaplain what your hopes and expectations are, both for how I'll be talking about it and working out my role with you and with the other people with whom I'll be interacting. Because our definitions that we're sharing with you here, it may not be what the commander's definitions are. And since that's the person you have to deal with, I'd want to find out what did that person mean by what they said.
Yeah. And I think the idea,
great.
Too, that... Go ahead.
The hope for expectations and the commander's responses for me. And then I found out that he lost his wife to congestive heart failure. And I know that when I said that God was good, because she lasted for 3 years, I know that it was PHF is what he said. And I was like, well, you know, God is good. She lasted, you know, for a really long time. That's unusual. And he says, well, you're proselytizing me. And I was like, I think he's just really hurt people, and sometimes that happens, and that was not what I was trying to do.
Well,
I was trying to get to know him as a person.
Totally, and you know what? I have one more thought when we get back from this break about sometimes what we do as Christians, that we kind of step in our own spiritual oops.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I turned on New Life, and the topic that day was about anxiety. And just by listening, I got relief.
You can help New Life stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you the new member thank you gift of the Life Recovery Bible Personal Size, the 1-Year Life Recovery Prayer Devotional, the New Life Journal, a New Life Pen and Highlighter, and a New Life Zipper Tote to hold it all. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life video library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
What's up, everybody? Again, thanks for joining us on New Life Live. This is Zach filling in for Steve today. I want to tell you about if you give any gift of any amount in the month of March, we're going to say thanks to you by sending you Dr. Daniel Amen's book, Conquer Worry and Anxiety. In it, he shares behaviors and strategies to help you see benefits in your everyday life. And so that's our gift to you if you want to contribute during the month of March. We have Danielle on the line. And Sherry, you wanted to jump in here and address things that Danielle is going through.
Yeah, I just love, thank you for your honesty in giving us a little bit more of the story. I think I can see it a little clearer now. If we were to slice it really thin, and this is the spiritual oops is, I think, something we often step into as believers. If I was to slice that situation really thin, he had, you know, you guys were having a conversation. He talked about his wife that, you know, was terminally ill and that ended up living longer than she may have.
And
so in that moment, what someone is really needing is empathy. Mm-hmm. It's empathy.
I told him I was sorry to hear that. And he said, oh, well, it's nothing. You know, I drink from sunup to sundown. I'm a professed alcoholic. And I was like, oh, you know, and I'm thinking I'm a stress and trauma care coach, and I can see red flags going off, and I'm like, what do I do now? You know what I'm saying?
But so often what happens in us is our heart gets really stirred when somebody is in pain, when somebody brings us a situation that's sad, and then especially when you said, I'm sorry to hear that, and then he responds in another way that feels kind of chaotic or out of control, or he's uncomfortable with his own feelings about his wife passing or that long-term care or about his drinking. He's uncomfortable. And I think when somebody is uncomfortable, the bottom drops out for us. And so we try to fix it unknowingly. We do this unknowingly. We try to fix it. And sometimes we spiritualize. We say a phrase like, God is so good, which actually is a way of fixing. It's trying to make something okay when it's not okay. And I think that's the hardest thing for us, because we want somebody to know we care. And I just am thinking about the fact how God gave us two ears, and there's times where we can just listen and ask more questions, become a rabbi. I mean, right? I respect your job. You're a chaplain, right? You're a spiritual person. You're a person that brings hope. Hmm. But I think when I look at how Jesus was a rabbi, he just kept asking questions to get deeper into that person's heart, as long as they were comfortable going. And so, again, I just want to mention that for whatever it's worth. I think it's common for us to share. And we always know it doesn't go well when we're spiritualizing. It doesn't go well because somebody reacts to it. Kind of like Pam was talking earlier with that whole situation. It's like, what just happened? Well, what happened right before that? And so leaning into empathy, which is, wow, I'm not even sure I know what to say. That sounds incredibly painful.
Yeah.
Sometimes we have to allow that God is also very disappointing. Of course, I also believe that God is good, but God has disappointed me over and over, and I haven't even lost a spouse. So acknowledging that God seems to fall short of certainly of our expectations and what we'd hoped for, it can allow God to become a safer presence, because we're being safe with the commander's experience of God. God fell short. God didn't save his spouse.
And you know, it's
and
so interesting.
Okay, right?
It's okay. Yeah, it's not okay with him, but it's okay for us to just say, I imagine you're feeling really disappointed. And the reason I know he had a flood of feelings is, what did he invite you to do shortly thereafter?
I'm not sure what.
Have a beer.
Yeah.
Yeah, so... Do you see how he's numbing out his feelings by having a beer? And he wanted to invite you to have a beer with him to kind of, you know, smooth over any wrinkles.
Be okay.
Yeah. And in that moment, this agnostic gentleman introduced you to his God in that moment.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Wow, Zach.
Yeah.
And beer shows up in a much more quick and comforting way than God usually does. So it's understandable. Isn't it understandable that alcohol has been more comforting for him than beer, than God? But if you, Danielle, are willing to go back to acknowledge his experience of God, then he gets to have some of God's comfort through you, because we're God's hands and feet.
And so it might sound like this, Danielle. I am so sorry the other day when I mentioned that God is good, on the heels of you telling me a story about your former wife's terminal illness.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I'm sorry. That was wrong. I really should have just listened, because I imagine you have a lot of heartache around that. And that's it. Don't mention Jesus. Don't mention God. Don't mention anything. Just go back and repair and take ownership over the fact that, that was a very difficult situation for a long time, and that must have been painful.
Yeah, and Danielle, as we wrap up with this, I think about just the language the Bible uses about idols. You know, that an idol my definition, I pull from Tim Keller, an idol is anything you turn to and say, save me, in your greatest moment of need. And, you know, all of us can have them. They can even be good things that become ultimate things. And so my point in just saying that this agnostic gentleman introduced you to his God is that that's the thing that he turns to when he's in pain. When we're hurting and when we're in crisis, we're either for the first time or the 10th time introduced to what our idol or what our God actually is. And I just think that what Sherry, you said earlier, and Alice too, just being available, sitting in, I mean, the ministry of presence, oh my gosh, like the people that have that, just ability just to sit and lament and grieve and be there with people, it's such a unique gift. And I do wonder if we maybe ought to, as Christians, just take a page from that, especially if somebody's volunteering the pain. And this is why I don't believe, because God, fill in the blank. And rather than kind of offering the more rational, well, no, logically, I just don't think people want to hear that right then. You know, there's a time to do that. We need to exercise wisdom with that. And so, Daniel, thanks for calling. Is there a resource that we can send to her that you guys were thinking about as we were sharing?
Wow, I'm trying to think of something. Maybe the grief workbook, because I think having the opportunity to work through our own feelings around loss is, helps us to be better caretakers of other people. And, you know, as a chaplain, we deal with lots and lots of loss, I'm sure. Can we go to Lori? Would you mind
if we
jumped onto her call? Lori?
You read my mind, because that's
you
the next did? Person I was
awesome.
Going to. Yes, yes. So Lori is calling from Maryland today. She's listening to us on the internet. And so, hi, Lori. Thanks so much for joining New Life Live. How can we help you today?
Yeah, hi, how are you?
I'm so great. Thanks for calling. How can we help you?
Well, I'm calling because I called the other day and spoke to a pastor, and my question was, if your husband is watching porn, but it's cartoon porn, is there anything wrong with that? And he said, absolutely not. I said, it's not the same as watching it on the internet. He said, no.
Okay, can I do something?
Every night.
Can I do something? Bad answer. Lori, that's insane. That's absolutely insane that your pastor said that.
No, it was actually a pastor on this labor.
I couldn't on our show?
Not on your show, but another pastor from another show.
Okay. Oh, a pastor on another show. Well, let me just tell you something.
Yeah.
That is as wrong as, I don't know, I could come up with a lot of ideas. That is as wrong as Putin coming into Ukraine saying, I'm here bringing a peace treaty team. I mean, it's just insane. And let me tell you why it's insane. Because he's minimizing the pornography use. He's making it okay. I don't care. This is the world I work in. And I have, there's husbands that want to look at cartoon porn. They want to look at fruit porn. They want to look at, you know, bathing suit ads. And I'm like, no, it's not okay. Because it's actually, there's a name for it. It's called edging. It's called edging. Mm. It means I am going to dangle my legs off of some tall, you know, cliff, and I'm going to ride the edge. I'm going to do this thing that keeps me aroused. It keeps me stimulated. It keeps me in an acting out phase.
Mm-hmm.
And the most important thing, let me ask you the million-dollar question, are you okay with him looking at cartoon porn?
No.
Okay.
So he watches, what he does is he watches regular porn all day long for 8 hours, and then when he goes to bed, I'll be asleep at 2 o'clock in the morning and wake up, and he'll have a complete naked 13 or 14 year old on TV watching it. And he's downloaded well over 5,000 different copies.
Oh my gosh, Lori, we are so sorry to hear that. We stay on the line. We want to help you. We'll come back after break, okay?
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Here again at New Life Live, this is Zach Matchett filling in for Steve Arterburn with Alice Benton and Sherry Keffer. Dr. Alice Benton and Dr. Sherry Keffer. Sherry, we've got Lori on the line still. We've been chatting with her and just want to pick back up on your thought there about her sharing.
So, hey, Lori, you know, it just breaks my heart because what's really happening is way more. Cartoon porn is bad. It's still edging. But what you're talking about is a husband who is a porn addict, but he's also involved in illegal porn.
Yeah.
And child porn. Are you aware that it was illegal? Do you, you know, is that something that you're aware of?
Yeah, I'm aware of that, but I've not seen him do it on I've seen adults on there, but I've not seen any kids on the internet.
You have seen, or you have not seen? Because you had mentioned 13 to 14-year-olds.
That was on the cartoon on the TV.
Oh, got it.
Underage pornography is cartoon pornography.
Oh, yeah, got it. Mm-hmm. Well, first off, thanks for clarifying that.
Yes, thank you.
The bottom line is, how do you feel about him spending 8 hours looking
sick.
At, say, I'm sorry.
Sick.
Okay.
Sick.
Do you know what?
I'm sick to my stomach.
Yeah. Hmm. I feel sick to my stomach with you. And here you went to your pastor who you thought would be an ally, who you thought you could trust, who you thought would help you. And he did the very opposite. He minimized it.
Well, he said it wasn't anything wrong with it. He said, you know, I should be grateful that, you know, he's a hard worker. He pays the bills and all that. And I'm like, okay, yes.
Well, you know,
I should be grateful for that.
Yeah. And let me tell you, how did you feel about that when he said that to you?
Sick.
Yeah. And you know why you felt sick, my dear? Is because he's wrong. Hmm. He's minimizing it.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying this about him. I don't know your pastor, but I do know that from having had my husband, my former husband, Connor, was a pastor. And there are a ton of pastors that minimize porn because they're also involved in it. I'm not saying that for him, about him for sure, but doesn't it make sense? Why he would distract and tell you you should be grateful he's bringing home a check and tolerate him sexually betraying you day after day after day after day and hours. And I'm so sorry. That is actually a form of trauma. It's called treatment trauma. He harmed you. So where are you going to go? Alice, you wanted to say something.
Well, Lori, it's obviously not a time for gratitude. It's a time for righteous indignation. And
yes.
I think about the periods in which Jesus displayed righteous indignation when he took his stand, even with aggression sometimes, to say, not in my home, not in my life. I will not allow this. And if you're going to choose to continue to use, if you aren't unwilling to get help, then this is what I'm going to do to protect myself, my heart, my head, and my home. It's a time for action and requirement, not gratitude.
I understand.
What do you think? What do you think about that? Does that seem even possible?
Well, 65 years of age, I don't know where I would go.
Oh, honey. I hear you. I have a lot of women that I serve in a community that are your age, and I help to support them to do exactly what Alice is talking about. We have our Restore workshop here at New Life. There are resources, my dear, to help you, because the feeling is I can't do anything about it. I'm stuck, right? There's nothing I can do about it. I'm powerless. And in that position, we're in the victim seat. And many of us stay there when we don't have the support of people like Alice, people like me, people like Zach, that are just clearly saying, that was wrong. It was wrong counsel. But we need the support to learn how to do the very thing that Alice is talking about.
So it may not yet be the time for that level of action because you might not have sufficient strength or the safety plan in place to be able to take such a firm stand. And so, Lori, getting in with a group such as Sherry is suggesting, our Restore Weekend, or with an individual therapist to start building up that plan and building up your internal fortitude so that you can then make choices for your own emotional and spiritual safety.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, again, Lori, thanks for being so open. That's half the battle, is just to reach out and to cry out for help and get some advice. You guys had mentioned Restore earlier. That workshop is coming up July 15th through the 17th in Dallas. And obviously, this ministry really, as Sherry said earlier, really works with people who whose spouse, whether themselves, whoever, a loved one, is dealing with sexual addiction of many kinds. And so we have some resources that we want to send you to help you. Sherry, is there one or two that you might think come to mind?
I actually would love to send her a copy of my book, Intimate Deception, Healing the Wounds of Sexual Betrayal. And in there, Lori, will be a roadmap. There's a whole chapter on boundaries. It's packed full of what you can do and packed full of validation so that you know what's right and what's wrong. So I think that would be a great resource for her.
Also, stay on the line, Lori, because we have a network of counselors, folks. So some of these weekends are a little far out. And although we want you to come to that weekend, we want you to come to Restore, we can also find a counselor for you in your area who specializes in the very help that you need.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks so much for calling today. Lori, we got time for me for one more quickly. So I'm going to go to Christine in Long Island, New York. She's listening on Siri XM Radio. Hi, Christine. How can we help you today?
Hi, thank you for taking my call. Last but not least, I hope.
Yes.
I'm a New Life member. I'll make my question as quick as possible. I have a 28-year-old son that has lived at home since he graduated college in 2017. Failure to launch, but during college, he was diagnosed with social anxiety and put on mega doses of antidepressants through the state school. When he came home, he got into drug use, medicating himself.
Yeah. So let me do this because I know we just have like a minute left.
Yeah,
Alice, you have done the workshop for parents with kids that are struggling. Can you just give her one thought before we close today?
Yeah.
Well, Christina, in difficult situations like this, we have to make sure our children are getting the right level of comfort and treatment, but challenge as well, because too much of one, too much of the other keeps our child stuck. And so if you're not yet speaking with a therapist to help you quarterback how to handle this situation, making sure your son is getting adequate treatment, but also requiring at least small steps towards launching, whether it's some action of job search on a daily basis and showing you evidence of it, we need to have expectation because it adds to the healing process.
Yeah.
And what's a resource we could send her?
How about Take Your Life Back for your son?
I think that would be great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And getting him plugged into some sort of and you may already have this, a local church, some sort of spiritual refreshment that he can find to navigate these challenges in life. And man, parenting does not stop even when the adult children are there and trying to figure that out. It just looks a little bit different. And so thanks so much for hanging out with us today. This is awesome. I loved hanging out with you guys. Sherry and Alice, thanks so much for being with me and being awesome co-hosts. Thanks again for joining us in New Life today. If you want to download the New Life Ministries app or subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, please do share it on social media if it's a helpful thing for you. We're super thankful that you were joined us today. Thanks so much for being here.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again on Monday for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.